Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. What a gift it is to be with y'all this morning. I want to just say a special thank you to kids, all of you who are with us this week. It was such fun to get to hear y'all singing and learning all that you're learning. Thanks for all the volunteers. Thanks for the families of VBS kids who are here this morning. It's really fun. And since we won't get to see our pictures, I guess, this morning, we will have to find another time that you guys can come, maybe next Sunday, and get to share those fun pictures with us. The Lord be with you. Would you pray with me? Lord, you know what we bring this morning. The rocks and thorny places that surround us, the state of the soil of our hearts. God, make us good soil right now, that the seed of your word would take root in our lives and yield an abundant crop. May your word bear fruit in our lives. May that fruit extend the depth and breadth of your reign to bring flourishing in our families, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, across San Antonio and beyond. God, we need your presence and your power. And so we pray expectantly in Jesus' name. Amen. Do y'all remember science fair projects? The whole trifold board and all? I think some students and parents might be groaning already. When I was in high school, I did a science fair project about growing grass under artificial light for use in athletic competition. And some folks at Texas A&M were kind enough to take me under their wing and give me space and guidance for the project. Before I get too far into Texas A&M, I should say that I worked at UT Austin for 4 years and at Texas Tech for 1 year, so you won't hear me dwelling too much on the Aggies, if that's hard for you. But I did the science fair project, and my report was published eventually in the Texas Turfgrass Journal. Who knew that there was such a thing as the Texas Turfgrass Journal? This is academia for you. I advanced to the International Science Fair competition. I'm not trying to brag here, because here is the story of how my whole science fair run came to an end. At the International Science Fair competition, one of the judges came up to me and asked simply, "Tell me about your soil." And I must have stared at him blankly, because he continued. He said, "Well, what's in your soil? How did you care for it? What method did you use to fertilize it?" And I confess, the researchers at A&M must have known more, because I just ran the experiment with whatever soil they gave me. I didn't know what was in the soil or how it affected the experiment's results. I paid attention to the seeds, to the light, to the grass that sprouted, to the damage that would be done under athletic conditions. But I hadn't really thought much about the soil. Clearly it mattered. Clearly the fact that I didn't know how it mattered to this judge. And I think almost everyone at the International Science Fair competition got some sort of honorable mention award, but I received no mention. That was the end, pretty much, of my scientific exploits, but the lesson stuck with me. The soil matters. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at parables Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 13. Parables are these stories, right, where Jesus puts the truth of the gospel in everyday terms that people can understand, yet there's this surprising, even shocking, sometimes hidden or unexpected spiritual meaning to these very common spiritual elements in the story. There's this short allegory around a single metaphor comparing truths about God and how God works in the world to things that we understand, ways that we understand, things we observe every day. Someone has said that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we see here in our parable today, the meaning Jesus wants to convey is that if the word about God's reign is going to bear fruit in our lives, then it's going to need good soil. The soil matters. So I may not know much about soil, but Jesus' audience did. Here's this huge crowd, right? It's so big. Kids, can you believe this? Like, it was so big that all the people are, like, on the shore, and Jesus has to go out on a boat to get a little space to be able to teach. So Jesus is teaching from a boat, and the people are there hungry for some teaching about the hope and justice of God's coming reign, and Jesus is telling them what they already know, really, about farming. this farmer, they hear the story, this farmer seems to lack discretion in where he puts his seeds. He just throws the seed around haphazardly, kind of randomly. But okay, we'll follow you, Jesus. Of course, you know, we know some, if you throw seed on a path, it won't grow because of birds. And if you throw seed among rocks, it won't grow because there isn't deep soil. And there'll be times that the crops need deep, good roots. Some won't grow among thorns because they'll be choked out. And the seed on good soil, though, will multiply itself. Even 100 times, bearing fruit, and most of all, bearing more seeds. Right, got it. Well, Jesus, this is not really complicated or surprising to us. We know about how seeds work. We know how soil works. We got it. What does that tell us about God? That's what we're really here to know, Jesus. And Jesus stops. Jesus stops before the punchline. He simply says these truisms that kind of everyone knows. And then he says, let those who have ears to hear, hear this. Wait, what? Jesus, hear what? Tell us the punchline. Where are you going with this? And when he doesn't tell them what it all means, it seems that much of the crowd wanders away. But the disciples hang back and they show what kind of soil they are by asking questions, by drawing close to Jesus and seeking more information. Why do you speak in parables? They ask. And I think basically Jesus says, because people couldn't take it if I gave them the answers directly. If what I want to give people is not simply information, but an embodied relationship, recruit them into a movement, then I have to give them a story that leaves them wanting a little something more, pursuing me in order to get it. In the words of Emily Dickinson, right, the poet, Jesus is going to tell all the truth, but tell it slant. There's a little intrigue, a little mystery, a little art and poetry to how these heavenly truths get expressed and take root. So the hearers have to dig in a little. The words seem simply irrelevant or so commonplace as to be easily dismissed otherwise. And the disciples do dig in, so they seek him out, and Jesus says, well, let me break this one down for you, disciples. I'll tell you where I was going with the whole soil and seeds thing. You know, if you're like me, I've had times in my life where I worried about what kind of soil I was. You know, I thought, well, maybe God couldn't move in my life. Maybe I was stuck spiritually simply because of the soil I was and the soil that maybe I always would be. But as I listen to this story now, I don't think that we are consigned to being one kind of soil always. In fact, one of the reasons the farmer in the story seems to be so haphazard, I think, is because he doesn't want to prejudge which soil will be fertile and which won't. What looks like rocky ground now might later be good soil. What appears to be fertile places now might later become path or thorns. We've all been, I believe, we've all been all these kinds of soil, all four, at one time or another. I've been on the well-worn path, where we don't even let the word sit with us. We don't understand what God's trying to plant in us, so we just keep on moving. I've been in a rocky place where it seemed like faith in the good times turned out to be pretty shallow when hard times hit. Unfortunately, I think we've often, as a big church, I think we've spread a kind of faith, a kind of following Jesus, that doesn't always give good roots to people, that sometimes hasn't provided depth and resistance when challenges inevitably come. You know, y'all know this, that there's a lot of bubblegum, fast food, pop theology out there. Prosperity gospel, oppressive gospel, shallow messages that get exposed as not good news at all when they're impotent against all the bad news that's around us. That kind of faith is not the kind of discipleship that we need in our world that's filled with internal and external struggles. And so, you know, I've been the path. I've been among the rocks, and I've been thorny soil at times. Here, you know, it's not the hard times, but the allure of other goods. It's the good times sometimes that impede the growth of God's fruit in our lives. We get too busy so easily. We get too busy about worrying about other things, chasing wealth or fame, image or power, control or security. And yet, the seed keeps coming. God keeps coming, and yet, the voice comes to us and says, everyone who has ears, Everyone who gets a seed, and that's everyone, everyone, all of you, listen. Because you have a chance to be good soil. God wants to grow something that will not only bear good fruit in your life, but will it multiply itself to grow something that will bless the people around you. You can be good soil. And so I think the question comes to all of us this morning, which kind of soil am I forever? I think the question is better, which kind of soil are you right now? Which kind of soil are you right now? What kind of soil am I? How can we help each other cultivate and fertilize our soil, creating the kind of environment most conducive to God growing something new in our midst? Friends, no matter where you've been, the question is, where are you going to go next? How can you start right here, right now, again, today, cultivating better soil in your life? Maybe you've heard this contemporary parable, which may or may not come from the Cherokee or other indigenous people. A grandpa is teaching his grandson about life, and the grandpa says to the boy, "There's this fight going on inside me." Have you heard this story? "It's a terrible fight," the grandpa says. "It's a terrible fight between these two wolves that are inside me. One wolf is evil. He's anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, ego." And the grandpa continues, "But the other wolf is good. He's joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, faith." And he goes on, "The same fight is going on inside you between these two wolves and inside every other person too." The grandson pauses and looks at his grandfather and then asks, "Well, which wolf will win, the good wolf or the bad wolf?" And the grandfather simply replies, "The one you feed. The one you feed." Which wolf will win? Which soil will you choose to be today? It's all about the one you feed, the one you tend to and fertilize and cultivate by God's grace, God's work in our lives. We don't have to do it alone. How do we cultivate with God's help this fertile soil in our lives? How can we seed the good soil, feed the good soil, and starve off soil that won't bear good fruit? We talked about this passage downstairs in the Thursday lunch Bible study with Corazon the other day, and I like how one brother put it when we were talking about this. He said, "Sometimes you have to change playgrounds, playthings, and playmates," he said. I think a lot of tilling the soil of our lives comes down to the community we put ourselves in. I hope we, as Travis Park, can work at supporting each other in lives that are following Jesus and sharing God's unconditional love and justice. We all need companions on the journey. We can't do it alone. We need people who will encourage us, keep us headed in the right direction, keep us tending to what God's planting in our midst. As we said last week, Valerie and I are going to be meeting in various homes and here at the church space. We want to dream with you about what that might look like in the next season of our church. And as I said last week, and a few of you have already come forward, thank you so much. If you're interested in helping to host one of those conversations, would you let me or Pastor Valerie know, and we'll get those started probably in a couple weeks, and hopefully there'll be a time or maybe a neighborhood near you where you can be a part of one of those conversations. But all of us, we need to be seeking community that is going to help us to go deeper. We have to turn away from the distractions, the temptations that would choke out God's work in our soil, sometimes because they're harmful, sometimes because they're good things, but they're just taking up all of our energy and attention and resources. We have to make room in our lives for what God wants to do. I love how we get to do that with kids. We do that in prayer. We do that by getting into Scripture together. We do that by being here in worship and tasting God's grace in communion. We do that by volunteering and serving with people we don't know yet. We do that by talking with our kids about God, who often have ears to hear, attuned to God's rhythms in ways that we've long forgotten. We do that, we grow by asking questions like the disciples do, by persisting at going back to God and saying, "Help me understand. I don't get it. Help me understand," by wrestling. We go and we say, "Help me connect my everyday experience in the ways of your reign, the ways of your work in the world that often seems so foreign or distant or counterintuitive." How can we work toward being good soil? Not soil on the path, not stuck among the rocks or thorns. I think that's one takeaway from today's passage. Another way of looking at the passage, I think, is to say, how can I be like this sower? God sows the word everywhere, but I don't think Jesus is the only sower. We are meant to produce and sow seeds that multiply and extend God's reign, God's kingdom. Where are we planting seeds of good news? I'm so relieved that this passage reminds me, you know what? It's not my job, it's not your job, it's not our job to worry about what the results will be when we sow seeds. That's between the soil and the God who gives the growth. I don't have to worry about finding the worthy people, the good soil. I know because seeds came to me when I wasn't good soil, and God's been faithful even in the times I wasn't ready. So here's my job and yours, and our job as a church. Let's simply try to sow good news seeds everywhere. Everywhere. We don't have to worry about where it goes. Do your coworkers seem like path people? I bet they do sometimes, because we can all be path people. Don't worry about it. Sow seeds that plant a word of the good news reign of God. Do your neighbors seem like rocky ground, shallow people? Don't worry about it. Plant something that you know from experience has the potential to go deeper, to resist and last through the coming trials and storms. Are your friends stuck chasing wealth and prestige, consumed with other things? Probably, because we've all been there. Plant unconditional love and justice that you know can bear real fruit in the long run. Don't assume you'll know the outcome of the seed planting because you think you know the soil. The soil might just change and surprise you. As we think about being the sower and not just the soil, we can ask ourselves, what kind of story are we telling with our lives? How does my life point people to God's good news? We can see that the yield of God's work in our lives is fruit with many seeds. How are you spreading the good things that God has grown and changed in you? How are you telling that story? With both your words and your actions, telling it slant with some poetry, some mystery, some intrigue, a hook. What difference has God's word had in shifting the story of your life? Why do you ask the questions you do? Why do you have a depth and peace that have seen you through real challenges? Why do you seem to chase something more than wealth or popularity or control, the things that we can all get worried about? Friends, with our actions and our words, we can tell a parable with our lives. We can live lives that pique people's interest, sharing the nature of God's reign, God's kingdom, if they have ears to hear and eyes to see. We can get people asking questions for which God's good news is the answer. Our generosity can tell a story pointing to our generous God. Our radical hospitality and inclusive invitations can point to our inviting God. Our forgiveness points to God's mercy. Our perseverance to God's faithfulness. Our hope to God's purpose and presence and power. How will your story, my story, our story together be a parable that invites our neighbors to know and to share God's story? We're going to keep asking, we need to keep asking, what kind of metaphors will be timely and relevant to our hearers? Even the metaphor of kingdom for the realm where God is in control, making all things right, can feel out of touch for us, which is why the Inclusive Bible translation that we often use here often calls it the kingdom, thereby emphasizing God's space and community as a family, right, in healthy connection with one another. I've heard others say a good translation, a good metaphor for us today of the kingdom, the reign of God, might be the network of God or the economy of God. But more than simply finding the right language, we have to keep helping one another ask and answer, how is my life, how is our shared life together sharing and telling, showing and telling the story of God's reign? I'll close with this. Maybe you saw this in the news this week. There was this great lived parable, again, for those with ears to hear. A week ago, how hard would this be? Some of us have maybe lived something like this. A week ago, 25-year-old Sarah Cummins called off the wedding that she had planned, that she was supposed to have yesterday. This was a wedding that she had planned with 2 years of her life and $30,000. But instead of canceling all her orders for the reception, she started calling homeless shelters around her hometown of Indianapolis. She made a plan for buses to pick people up and bring them to this reception at the Ritz. Jesus told a similar parable that God wants to throw a lavish story, a lavish party for us. It's okay. We all feel that way sometimes. God wants to throw a lavish party for us, not because we were the worthy or expected guests, but because God wants the party to be full. Somehow we were the ones hungry or desperate or crazy enough to say yes to God's invitation. Somehow the invitation came from God when God had cultivated somehow some good soil in us, when we'd been feeding the good soil, when we'd been open to God's unexpected message. Friends, if we've known what it is to receive that kind of invitation, to be guests at this amazing dinner party, how are we going to multiply and extend that table of grace to others? And if we haven't known that good news yet, how are we going to tend to the soil of our lives that the seed might take root? There's a term, gone to seed, which refers to a time, right, when a plant has stopped flowering, leaves are falling off, it's dying. But it's precisely at this point, when it looks like it's all falling apart, like Sarah's canceled wedding last week, yesterday must have felt, it's in those times, in those places that are gone to seed, that seeds of something new get planted. God is going to use even the places of our lives that feel like brokenness, not flourishing, that feel like death and not life. God's going to use them and multiply something new. Gone to seed times are not the end. They're just the beginning. And so, brothers and sisters, may we share those beginnings together here as a people. May we extend those good news second chances in many new fields as we follow the example of our sower. Will you pray with me? Gardening God, help us tend to and feed the good soil in our lives and the lives of those around us. Lord, make us a cultivating community, unwilling to settle for the easy ways we can all find ourselves on the path or among the rocks or the thorns. Lord, make us a sowing community, not worrying about who qualifies or deserves our attention, not placing conditions or strings attached to the ways we extend your love and justice, but God, simply spreading the seeds you've given us with everyone we meet. May it be so.